Welcome back to the Mavericks and Misfits podcast. Jeff Lyle recently received an email from a viewer who requested a little more help understanding the anointing that Jeff frequently references in his teachings. From her email, Jeff shares in today's podcast what he means when teaching on the need for Christians to operate with God's anointing on our lives. Have you knowingly experienced the anointing? Do you assume you don't need it for normal life? Is it just for preachers, prophets, and worship leaders? Today's podcast will help answer some of the questions surrounding this vital part of Christian life and ministry.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Mavericks and Misfits podcast. We are coming at you from the tiny little studio here in Dawsonville, Georgia. Where's that studio located, Jeff? Is it some big building somewhere? No. It is in the basement of my house. All right, that is where we are coming from. Tells you what kind of budget we operate with, and I am stuck in this little shoebox. But it looks pretty good. I think for what we've got to work with, looks pretty good if you're watching online. If you're not watching online, and you may not know, you're listening to one of our streams, our podcast stream on one of the platforms. I do want to let you know we have a YouTube channel if you prefer to watch podcasts rather than listen to them. All you got to do is look up Mavericks and Misfits podcast on YouTube. By the way, I think there's another YouTube page called Mavericks and Misfits. I don't know if, because I've copyrighted the name, so I don't know if they stole it or what, but I don't care. But do want to make sure that you're finding the right place. And so the Mavericks and Misfits podcast is the actual name of our page. And you can watch us there. Speaking of studio, one of the things in this project that I've mentioned in several of the podcasts that we're doing, one of the uses of the building project where we are renovating a warehouse to turn it into a prayer and training center. It's also going to be where we film the podcast. I can move out of my basement and into that building once it's complete, and we are looking forward to that. It'll allow me to have guests. This thing is so small. I mean, I don't know if you can see how small it is, but this is it, you know, right here. I'm moving my hands for those of you that are listening, but there ain't a whole lot of space up in here. And so it's going to be good because I want to do some episodes with my beautiful wife, who is much more suited for the camera than this guy. Amy is beautiful, and she's got so much wisdom, folks. I mean, she doesn't love public speaking. She doesn't like being on a platform. She's an intercessor. She's a prophet. She doesn't really like being in front of people, but she obeys when the Lord opens up opportunities. But every time she speaks, man, people get wrecked. It's just amazing. And so I've been trying for a long time to figure out how she and I can do a podcast together. I think she wants to do her own. I think she probably just wants to do her own podcast. Doesn't want to have to share with me, but I'm going to ease her into the podcast world. But we'll be doing that in the new building. And if you are unfamiliar with what I'm talking about, I'm not going to spend any time talking much about the building today. But the shop is going to be converted into a prayer and training center. We have a name for it. Again, I got to get Amy to tell that story because it's connected to her family history. It's really, really a powerful story. But if you are interested in helping us with it, check me out on Facebook. I know some of you are young and you don't do Facebook. Just humor me. Get on Facebook and follow me. It's my page. It's just me. Jeffrey D. Lyle is the name of the page. So if you're searching, there might be a bunch of other Jeff Lyles out there. Search for Jeffrey D. Lyle and follow me because that's where I'm posting pictures. I'm posting all sorts of updates about the progress. I am raising funds for it. I've mentioned that on Mavericks and Misfits a couple of times. I don't mind doing that. I don't really do a lot of fundraising in ministry. I don't preach about it a whole lot. I have to at the end of Transforming Truth broadcast because television and the media outreach is expensive. So everything we do media-wise is supported by the people that are being blessed by it. If the podcast has blessed you and helped you, could I be so bold as to say, would you consider making a donation to this project that we're doing? It's going to cost me a couple of $100,000. And yeah, we've gotten some offerings and I've put a lot of my own money into it and I'm donating the building. That's my big give. So I'm saying we're not going to use the building for, we could rent it out. We could probably make about $35,000, $40,000 a year renting it out. We don't want to do that. We know that our part is to donate the building and sow as much of our funds into it as possible. But if you want to help me, and I hope you can, you can donate at transformingtruth.org, transformingtruth.org. Every dime you donate to the building project will go to the building project. You can select that there. It's called Prayer and Training Center on those giving options. Just select it right there. Every dime you give will go straight to that. You can also give by Cash App and Venmo. Just use Transforming Truth. So Cash App, it's $ Transforming Truth. Venmo, it's @ Transforming Truth. Every dime will go to the project, and you're going to be able, especially if you live locally, you're going to be able to go to it and benefit from it once we get up and running. It's in the hands of the county. By the time this podcast airs, the county should have the drawings. You know how that works. They just do their thing. They're making sure everything's up to code, and I'm glad I'm not really hands-on with that. We have some friends that have agreed and graciously offered to do that, and so that is where it is right now. But we need funding. It's going to cost an incredible amount of money. I'd like to get it all done without having to wait months and months in between getting everything finished. So follow me on Facebook. Stay up to date on that. If you can help me donate to the project, that would be super, super encouraging. All right, I got a viewer email. Many of you, I don't always mention it. I'm not the best administrator, but I got a viewer email, and this viewer wrote this, and if you want to email me, I can't answer all of them, but I do answer most of them. You can email me at jeff@maverickmisfit.com, not mavericksandmisfits.com, but jeff@maverickmisfit.com. And so I got an email recently, and here it is from one of our viewers. This was emailed by someone called Ellie. Ellie, thank you for watching and thank you for reaching out. Appreciate it. She says, I've heard you talk often about a ministry anointing. You've never really explained what you mean by it. Probably true. Respectfully, you may assume that all the people watching you understand what the anointing is. I don't. Can you explain this a little on one of your podcasts, please? All right. Thank you, Sister Ellie, for being direct and asking me a question that probably needs to be asked and answered. So thanks. That's why I love getting the emails, because you guys are thinking like viewers and listeners, and I'm thinking like the guy behind the mic. And so this helps me. And I want to do that today. So I want to do my very best with Ellie's question today. She's like, what is a ministry anointing? What's that all about, bruh? What do you mean by a ministry anointing? And you know what? Even as I say it, I realize I probably do take it for granted that most of the people who watch or listen understand that. I am part of the representation of Christ's church called the Charismatic Church. That hasn't always been the case. I used to be a part of the Baptist. Growing up, I was part of the Christian Missionary Alliance, and then the Christian Church. So I call myself a denominational mutt. I've kind of been in a little bit of everything. I was a Reformed Baptist for a very short season. And so I've learned from a lot of different expressions in the church, and I'm a composite of all the good things that I've learned from those representations of the church. And now I fall in the camp that is referred to as charismatic. And what that means is we believe in the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we believe they are normative. That means they should be normal, and they are still effective. I used to be a cessationist, and those people believe that the gifts of the Spirit have ceased. And that's the word cessation. The cessation of the gifts means we believe that the gifts have ceased. That is not a biblically tenable position. The Bible actually nowhere teaches that the gifts of the Spirit have presently ceased. The Bible actually teaches the gifts of the Spirit, the supernatural gifts of the Spirit, will continue until Jesus comes and we see him face to face. That is in 1 Corinthians 12. You can see it right there. 1 Corinthians 13 actually explicitly teaches that the gifts will cease when we see Jesus face to face. So I believe the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not only available, they're essential. Because the gifts of the Holy Spirit are given for ministry, for the good and the building up of the body of Christ. That's 1 Corinthians 12. The gifts of the Spirit are referenced in Romans 12, referenced in 1 Peter 4, referenced in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. And the offices, the gifts of grace, the fivefold gifts, are listed in Ephesians 4, and those gifts are necessary for ministry. Along with that comes some vernacular, some charismatic vernacular. part of the vernacular and things that we say in the charismatic church. One of them is the anointing. What is the anointing all about? And Ellie has asked the question, hey, not all of us understand what it is, so could you unpack it? Thanks. Yes, I will. When we think about anointing, let's start in the Old Testament. There was this practice among God's people, and by the way, it actually originated and was sourced by God himself. It was God's idea. Anointing, primarily with oil, a physical anointing, was used for prophets, it was used for priests, it was used for kings, and certain articles and instruments were anointed. They were sprinkled with blood in certain cases. Most of the time, it was a type of oil that was used in anointing, and some of those anointing oils were actually formed, and the ingredients of that oil were specified by God himself. Used a lot in some of the Levitical liturgy and the law, and what did those oils need to be comprised of? Who was anointed? By whom were they anointed? When were they anointed? So it was very common in the Old Testament, but what it represented and what it signified for the most part is that somebody was being consecrated or set apart to something by God and for God. So the anointing in the, I think the original kind of representation and revelation of it was that the external anointing represented an internal, the physical represented a spiritual, and it was to be commissioned or consecrated unto God for a specific task. Now, that developed into more of a New Testament idea where even Jesus himself, I think, let's start with him. In the book of Luke, chapter number 4, Jesus is quoting a messianic prophecy from Isaiah 61, and he's applying it to himself. So when Jesus began his ministry, he said, quoting Isaiah 61, "The Spirit of Yahweh is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." And so this moment marked Jesus's divine appointment unto ministry, okay? So there again, we have this issue of Jesus himself saying that the Father had anointed him, had separated him, had consecrated him. It has nothing to do with him needing to be consecrated morally. It means purposefully, missionally, he had been anointed by the Father for the calling upon his life. So one aspect of the anointing is that there is a supernatural sovereign decree by God that this person, in this case from Luke 4, it was Jesus, this person would be anointed, be set apart and consecrated for a purpose. So when we're thinking about the anointing today, when I'm saying, man, I put this out on prayer as a prayer request about a month ago on Facebook. I very rarely put prayer requests, personal ones, on Facebook, but I felt the need to do this about a month ago because I was preaching, I think, 5 messages and ended up being 6 in 4 or 5 days, and I didn't want to do any of it without the anointing. So I put it out there and I said, hey, people, pray. I only have one request. Pray that the messages would be anointed. Well, what did I mean by that? Well, I meant not so much a physical oil. We'll talk about that in a minute. But that I would have this separation unto God and the touch, the resulting touch of God on me when I preach. Why? I wanted to be consecrated. I wanted to be separated. I wanted to be able to say, God, I'm dedicating my mind, my mouth, my body, my spirit, everything about me, I'm dedicating it unto you. I'm consecrating it unto you. And what I need is your response from heaven. I need, Lord, as I recognize I can't do this without you, I need you to anoint me, to consecrate me, to equip me, to fill me. Because we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit here in a moment. It's a touch of God. My part is consecration. His part is the response of anointing. That God honors the consecration. God recognizes the consecration. God affirms the consecration by placing a dynamic touch of himself on me for the task that I've consecrated myself for. I need an anointing to be a husband. I need an anointing to be a dad. I need an anointing to be a grandfather. I need an anointing for meetings that I go into. I need an anointing on my prayer life. I need an anointing on my finances. I need an anointing on my physical body for health and strength. I need an anointing. And when I'm saying that word now, Ellie, and to all those that are listening, what I'm saying is I need God's touch on me. I need something beyond me. I need something from heaven to meet me on earth that makes me suitable to live out on earth the heavenly life. Does that help? Is that making any sense? So Jesus in his ministry declared that it required an anointing from the Father. How much more do you and I need that same type of anointing? Now, let me give you a quick side trail here. I'm going to take a sip of water. There is a different type of anointing that is mentioned in James chapter 5, which many in my tribe, I told you earlier, from the charismatic world, but I think we all are familiar with this anointing of oil in the case of illness or sickness. Let me just give you this very quickly. It's not going to be the gist of what I talk about, but I do want to mention it because the Bible does. And I don't think it's a technicality. I think God actually expects us, primarily the elders, the leaders, people that have a God-given call and assignment on their life, that we are to actually use physical anointing oil, and we are to apply it to those that are ill or afflicted or infirm or injured. And it says in James chapter 5, is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and to anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And then we are told in the next verse, in James 5:15, that the prayer of faith will save or heal the sick. So we have this oil that a person receives when they are sick, afflicted. But notice this. It is the responsibility of the individual who's sick, afflicted, or sick or afflicted or injured. It is their responsibility, if they are physically able, to call for the elders to come to them. And so when they do so, by the way, it also mentions the confession of sin in the case of sickness. Some sicknesses, not most, not all, are caused by sin. And so the person confesses the sin, they experience the forgiveness and the cleansing of God, and then the elders anoint them with oil, and then there is the expectation of being healed from the sickness. So that is a physical use of actual oil. The reason why I mention that is because some people just kind of gloss through that. Entire denominations don't anoint with oil. Like, let's just believe and obey the Bible. So that is a physical oil, but let's get back to Ellie's original question. I want to stay on topic here. What about the anointing? What about the anointing for ministry? That's what she's really querying here. She's asking, what about this anointing for ministry that you're asking? Okay, so we go to the book of 1 John. The book of 1 John, chapter number 2, it's mentioned twice there in verse 20 and verse 27. And it's referring in verse 1 John 2, 20 and 27, it's referring to believers being anointed by the Holy Spirit, implying that the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that teaches and guides us can increase. We have the Holy Spirit. If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit. And so he indwells you. But there is the reality of our need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're actually commanded to be being filled perpetually by the Holy Spirit. So while he exists in every single believer, the book of Romans chapter 8 says, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not even saved. You don't belong to Christ. So the reverse engineering of that is if you belong to Christ, you already have the Holy Spirit. But we can be filled with the Holy Spirit, filled by the Holy Spirit. We can experience the baptizing of the Holy Spirit. Jesus baptizes Christians with the Holy Spirit and fire. I did a whole episode on that about a month or two ago. And what about this touch that John mentions? What does the verse say? Okay, he says, you have an anointing from God, from the Holy One, and you know the truth. So there is this anointing that abides on the Christian as we're walking in faith, as we're walking in the Spirit, as we're walking in holiness, as we're walking proactively pursuing the Lord. We have an anointing from the Holy Spirit, and we are able to know the truth. That is amazing, because truth does come by objective study. We study the Word of God. If you're not studying your Bible, you're going to be very limited in how much truth you're operating in. But we study the Word of God. But as we study the Word of God, we're still dependent on the anointing of the Holy Spirit to give us what Paul wrote to the Ephesians church in Ephesians 1:17 was the spirit of wisdom and revelation. That involves your mind. Wisdom in your mind and revelation in your mind. And yeah, it involves the Spirit too. So there is this anointing that comes from the Holy Spirit that expands your capacity to understand God's kingdom truth. I need that. You need that. You should pray for an anointing every time you listen to truth being taught. Every time I used to, before I was preaching, every time, most of the times I'm in church now, I am doing the speaking. Sunday nights at the North Georgia Revival, I rarely preach up there, so that is my great opportunity to receive from the preaching and teaching. I'm there every Sunday night, but I ask for an anointing. Lord, anoint my spirit, anoint my mind to receive what you're saying through these men and women of God, okay? So you've got that kind of anointing. Again, the anointing is the touch of God, the interactive touch of God, the supernatural touch of God upon your life. It is personal. It can increase. You actually play a part in determining how much of the anointing you're walking in. So let's get to this issue. Listen to what is said in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. I believe this is Peter. It is. And Peter is describing, Jesus has already been crucified, resurrected, and ascended back to the Father. And now Peter is testifying, having himself been anointed by the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, baptized in the Holy Spirit. Peter is later teaching some people, and he's teaching about Christ, and he says this, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, that's his humanity name, Jesus of Nazareth, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. And he went around doing good, is how Peter sums it up. So this highlights the anointing as a source of divine strength in our lives. So you get to receive divine strength. You don't have to operate in just your wisdom, just your education, just your experience, and just your natural gifting, or even, hear me on this, just your supernatural gifting. The Spirit of God will anoint the gifts of God in your life. Do you want that? Part of experiencing this touch of God on your life that I'm calling the anointing, it is God in you and God upon you. In the Old Testament, God did not indwell permanently believers. Holy Spirit would come upon believers. And there is a line of teaching in the New Testament in the day you're living in that, oh, because the Holy Spirit lives in us, we don't need the Holy Spirit on us. You won't back that up by Scripture. The Holy Spirit who was in people in Scripture is also said to come upon those very same people after they had him within. So it's the best of both worlds. I've got him within me, but I can have him come upon me too, for a measure of supernatural strength. I love operating under the anointing. I've had the sad misfortune of many times ministering without the anointing. Ugh, it's terrible. Does God still use it? He uses it because he's more interested in helping the people that maybe I'm preaching to or trying to minister to. He's not going to hold them hostage because I didn't take time to get the anointing. But it's terrible to preach and teach under the anointing. I'll just be honest with you. I'm sitting here right now in this tiny studio, and I am feeling the anointing of God on me. I know that what I'm saying is not just born out of me reading words off of paper or operating with a vocal ability or a mental ability. I feel the anointing of God. You should be sensing it too. You should feel something stirring in you. You should feel a hunger arising within you. You should feel your capacity in the kingdom to be broadening. You should be thinking about and feeling, well, what might be, what could be, how much more is there? That's all connected to the anointing. Anointing on the giving end, what I'm doing, and the anointing on the receiving end as you're hearing it. That's all the Holy Spirit's touch upon you. So it's hard to precisely define, but you can discern it when it's happening. And so Jesus went about doing good, what? Under the anointing of God. Jesus ministered as the Son of Man. He ministers as a human most of the time under the anointing. and under the touch. He was dependent upon the Father. He depended, he ministered, according to Luke 4 that I read earlier. It was the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Jesus would say in another place, if I, by the Spirit of God, by the finger of God, are casting out demons. So Jesus ministered in the Holy Spirit, not just simply as the Son of God who was divine. I love that. Okay, so we've got different references. It can touch on issues of being baptized with the Holy Spirit in fire. John the Baptist said Jesus would come and baptize us in Holy Spirit and fire. That has to mean something. That has to look like something. So the anointing is the supernatural touch of God upon you for specific purposes. Now, let me end today's episode with some suggestions about how to receive and operate and minister in the anointing. Okay, this is not necessarily as thrilling as the result, because some people will probably resist this teaching, but I'm going to tell you that the anointing comes and stays on your life primarily through the gateway of two things. What are they? Hunger and discipline. Hunger means you got to want the anointing. Excuse me. You've got to sense your need for the anointing. You have to desire the anointing. You have to recognize that you, in the best of your human abilities, and I thank God for your human abilities, but it's not enough. And you have to personally come to the place where you're like, I can't do this the way it needs to be done without God. I mean, I watched my wife raise our two kids. I'm watching Alicia raise our granddaughter. Like, ladies, you need an anointing to be able to do what you do as moms of young children. Like, nobody's going to be posting that on YouTube or Instagram or TikTok. But you need the anointing. You can't do it in your own strength. And most of you moms of young children, you're like, Jeff, you ain't telling us nothing, son. We know that. But that's the kind of thing I'm thinking. You need it. Excuse me. You need to have it before you know you need it. So what does that look like? Well, you got to want it. You got to, whether you're a mom or you're a stockbroker or a ditch digger or a prophet, you got to have the anointing. So you got to want it. You have to desire the anointing. The second thing is that beyond hunger, you have to have the discipline to receive the anointing. Okay, this isn't as cool as, you know, all the supernatural stuff. So what do I do personally to make sure that I'm not just operating in my gifts? I pray that all the time. Lord, thank you for the gifts of the Holy Spirit you've given me. You've given me the ability to lead. You've given me the Holy Spirit ability to preach and teach and prophesy. You've given me the Holy Spirit ability, the gift to be able to move and cast out evil spirits from people. Lord, thank you for those gifts. Lord, you give me the ability to pray in tongues, the spiritual gift of praying in tongues. Thank you for the gifts. But you can actually operate in those gifts without necessarily having the anointing. They're not the same thing. I know a lot of people that pray in tongues, they have no anointing. Why? Because they're not disciplined. They're not consecrated. They're praying in tongues from muscle memory. They've developed a skill and a gift, and they're doing it from muscle memory. They're just rabatokorobotoshikaradada, and they say the same thing all the time. It's muscle memory. But when the anointing hits the gift of tongues, you go to higher levels. You go to deeper levels. You go into more sustained usage of the gift of tongues. There will be sounds coming out of your mouth that you have never used before, and you'll recognize, oh, the Holy Spirit has come upon me, not just praying from within me, but has come upon me. And it's the same way with every gift. Now, how do we get these? Here's the disciplines. This is what I do. For me, it begins with the Word of God. When I am in the Word of God, for me, not for you, not for the podcast, not for Antioch Outpost, not for Kaneo, but when I'm in the Word of God, because I want to meet God in His Word, I need to hear from God. When I'm in the Word and He is enriching me and training me and teaching me and revealing to me, that is the key. I'm receiving. I connect with the Lord as He speaks to me through His Word. And if there is a season where I am not in the Word for days, could that possibly be? I'm going to confess it to you. There are seasons where I will go a couple of days and not be reading the Word for me, but be studying because I'm preaching five times that week. I'm teaching 4 hours that week. I'm doing podcasts that week and Transforming Truth and Truth Shots and all that stuff I do for you. That my schedule can be so filled with that, meetings and other things, that I might find myself, yeah, I'm in the Word. Of course I'm in the Word, but I'm in the Word for you, not me. And guess what? I don't have the anointing. It happens every time. I don't have the anointing. Why? because I'm operating from whatever is left over. See, the anointing carries the concept of an overflow. That which is overflowing is always pouring out, but also always full. An overflowing vessel is always full, but it's always pouring out. And so if I'm pouring out, but I am not being filled, then I run out. You're getting fumes. Okay? So the Word of God is crucial. You got to be in the Word. Second thing for me is prayer and fasting, and I don't separate those two things. I stay in a constant state of prayer. Most of the praying, 90% of the praying I do is internal praying, and you never hear it. If you followed me around, if you AI'd me, if you were, some way able to follow me around, watch what I do everywhere I go, you would not know it, but I am praying almost incessantly. Paul actually commanded the church at Thessalonica and commands us, pray without ceasing. Have you ever thought about what does that mean? You know, I can't be having a conversation with Amy and at the same time be talking verbally with my mouth to Jesus. That would be weird. Probably be a little confusing. But when I am listening to my wife, I'm also having a conversation with Jesus. Doesn't mean she doesn't get my undivided attention because I've learned how to pray without ceasing. When I'm in meetings and somebody is talking, I am constantly praying internally, Lord, help me understand this person. If I'm in a conflict, God, I can hear with the flesh or I can hear with the spirit. Lord, I need to hear with the spirit right now. Help me hear with the spirit. When I'm going about my business, I'm driving in my truck. I drive an hour from my house, an hour and 15 minutes to my office in Bethlehem at the church. I'm praying constantly, and it's almost nonverbal most of the time. So, got to pray, got to fast. I don't even have time. I need to do an episode again on fasting because some of you don't practice that. But fasting is important. That means when I deny myself food. As a matter of fact, I'll just go ahead and tell you this. I'm fasting on this day where I'm recording. I'm not eating today. Because when I fast, I'm able to say the physical is not as important as the spiritual. That sets me up to make space in my vessel for anointing. And so we've got fasting and we've got praying. Let me give you something else. I also have to intentionally consecrate myself in ways that are very personal to me. Consecration is personal. When I'm talking about consecration, I'm not talking about staying away from sin. That's not personal. That's everybody. You don't vote and pray about whether or not you're going to stay away from what the Bible defines as sin. I'm not talking about sin, but there are a lot of things that are not sinful but aren't profitable. So consecration for me is not merely I cannot sin. That's obvious. I don't want to sin. Jesus lives in me. He is my best friend. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's the person that I love the most. I don't want to do anything to hurt him, and my sin would hurt him. I don't want to sin. So when I'm talking about consecration, I'm saying, but beyond not sinning and beyond doing the commanded acts of righteousness, what about these areas where the Bible is not as specific? What do I do? How do I regulate what comes into my being? So you have gates in your life. You have eye gates, what you see. You have ear gates, what you listen to. And then I would even say mouth gates, which you put into your body. Then you have relational gates, who you hang out with. Because no matter how much you want to protest, who you hang out with influences how you are being. And so I monitor the gates. I'm a gatekeeper, so to speak. I don't let things in my eyes that will defile me. I just don't. That doesn't make me holier than thou. But here's the thing. I know that what I watch, what I look at, what I listen to, and the company that I keep affects my anointing. It does. A lot of people could have a greater measure of anointing if you just quit watching things that are actually not profitable to your spirit. I like to watch sports. And there are times where I get convicted that it's just been a little much. I'm primarily a Braves guy and an Atlanta Hawks guy. I just enjoy watching sports when I can. Then college football comes around, and suddenly I want to add a four-hour football game on the day before. It's always Saturdays for the most part. On the day before, I'm going to get up and preach. And I have to ask myself, is this going to increase or decrease my anointing? Stuff I listen to. I come from an old kind of a rock and roll background. I liked Southern rock. I liked classic rock. I did a little stint in heavy metal because everybody I used to hang out with loved heavy metal. That was never really my thing. It was just a little too intense for me, and I'm an intense guy. I didn't need help in that area. But when grunge came out in the early 90s, that was really my jam. I loved Pearl Jam. I loved Nirvana. I loved Alice in Chains. I loved the, Counting Crows, those guys. And, you know, I just loved that sound. And I got saved, and I, you know, the songs in themselves, most of them were not necessarily sinful. But they weren't profitable. And there were times as a Christian where I would revisit some of those songs in a nostalgic way. Do you know what I found happened? It did something to my soul. My spirit was fine. Did something to my soul. Took me back to depressed times in my life. Took me back mentally, nostalgically, to times where I was actually quite miserable. And do you know what happened? And I'm talking like the day after or that day, the anointing would leave me. My peace would leave me. I wasn't keeping my ear gate. And so I let things in that actually decreased my anointing. So now here I am, and I don't listen to secular music anymore. I don't watch things. If you guys are still watching movies with sex and nudity and profanity in it, don't expect to be anointed. Come on. Like, guys, that's just a ABCs, 1, 2, 3s. If you want the true anointing, not just so you can do good in your song when you sing it or in your sermon when you preach it, but if you want an anointed life, you can't watch things and be entertained by things that are things that Jesus died for. You're not doing them, but you're being entertained by them. That's an anointing killer. And so you have to watch your eye gate and your ear gate. And the last thing I'll say as I sign off here in a moment, Ellie, when it comes to the anointing, there is also the factor of the company that you keep. This is hard. This is a hard one. Because there are certain people that I can't hang out with and still operate in my anointing. There are people who are saved. I'm talking about Christian folk. But they don't share the same passion for Christ that you share. They don't share the same vision for the kingdom that you share. They got one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. They know Jesus. They're saved. But they're not going hard after him. And the very conversations and the very priorities, and they'll talk about people. They'll gossip. They don't even know they're doing it because they're so used to it. They don't know they're grieving the Holy Spirit. And when they're grieving the Holy Spirit in them, the Holy Spirit in me, if I'm hanging out with them, gets grieved. I feel his grief over what they're saying and doing. And I have more times than I have counted. It's sad, but I've had to say to people, yeah, man, right now in this season of my life, I'm really, really stepping into a high level of consecration. And guys, my relationship with you, bro, is just not able to go there, man. I love you. I don't want you to feel judged, but I got to do this for me. I can't keep hanging out with you because you're just going in a different direction than me. You talk about a difficult conversation. And there's no way for that person not to feel rejected and judged. So my choices ended up being, do I make sure they're comfortable by continuing to hang out with them, even though I know the Holy Spirit is grieved within me when we do hang out? Or do I go ahead and do the incredibly awkward and difficult thing at the risk of being personally misunderstood? Do I tell them we're not going to run together anymore? And I've done that a lot. When I do that, it typically has hurt the person. But can I say this? It pleases the Lord because I've chosen him and what's precious from him over casual relationships that person is not able to go to the next level with me. Now, you do with that what you want. I honestly don't care what you think about it. I'm talking about the anointing. And when the anointing for life and for ministry, that extra touch from God that cannot be casually obtained, I want the anointing of God on my finances so I can't do business with corrupt people. I want the anointing of God on my marriage, so I never let a flirt, never, I've never ever flirted with any other woman in the almost 28 years I've been married. Why? Because Amy owns me. I am hers. She's mine. We belong to each other. I'm not going to let the anointing of God slip off of that vow and that covenant I have with that beautiful woman by casually flirting with somebody that's never going to be my wife. That's how disciplined I am with this thing. Hunger for the anointing. You can want it all day long, but if you're going to get it, you're going to get it by disciplining your life, by severing yourself from things that undermine or remove the anointing. By taking it up a notch in your consecration, what goes in your ears and in your eyes, that's what I'm talking about. The anointing is anything but casual. It is intentional. It is intense. It is consecrated. And it can only be gained and maintained by living in an awareness that there are many things that can interrupt or undermine the anointing. And you just don't let it happen. So Ellie, I want to thank you because I hope that you at least have a clearer understanding. Even if you don't agree with some of what I said, at least you know where I stand on this issue. And for those of you that didn't ask, but Ellie asked on your behalf, I hope you'll consider what I said. Time's gone. Thanks for tuning in to another Mavericks and Misfits episode. Find us on YouTube at the Mavericks and Misfits podcast. You can get more teachings like the one you've heard today on Transforming Truth. Download the free Transforming Truth app and visit transformingtruth.org. Please remember, if you can, that mention that I made earlier. I need your help with that building. If you want to donate, you do it online at transformingtruth.org. It's a tax-deductible donation. I'm sowing into it. Others are sowing into it, but I need your help. And you could also do it by Venmo or Cash App, by sending your Venmo or Cash App offering to Transforming Truth, $ Transforming Truth at Cash App, @ Transforming Truth. On Venmo, and we're going to get that thing built. It's going to be good. It's going to be so good. May the anointing of God be upon you, and may it be upon me, and may we do what we do under His touch. We'll talk to you next time on Mavericks and Misfits. God bless.
I have heard Jeff teach before in other places that if we will express our hunger for God's anointing on our lives, God will grant it. I've heard Jeff preach that the anointing will become ours if we truly desire it. Today, I heard his strong reminder that the anointing is secured by those who have consecrated themselves in order to receive. I'm wondering if we have undervalued that important piece. You and I have been equipped today to move in closer to receive all that God has for us. Tune in next week for another life-impacting episode of the Mavericks and Misfits podcast.